Me and my friend Tanner were gonna go see, I don't remember what movie it was. It was some horror movie that came out. And I was like, yeah, dude, like I'll book us like the tickets or whatever, like the seats for the movie. And I send them the screenshot and I was like, yeah, dude, I got our tickets. Like, you know, here we're sitting right here. I'm like, is this cool? And Tanner was like, dude, are you fucking serious? And I was like, what? And it's in the row I wanted, but like there was the two of us and literally like three other people in the theater, and we were sitting next to someone, and he like lost his shit that I booked like seats right next to like one of the only three other people in the theater. And I
That
was like,
is
what?
really weird.
I would be really upset too, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, yeah, and I was, but that was my thing. I was like, what? And he's like, dude, he's like, you really like got seats right next to like one of the only, like, there's five people in this theater and you got seats next to like one of them, and us being two of the other five people. And I was like, dude, like I wanted to sit right here though. And I'm like, I what, like everyone sits next to me, like seats right there. He's like, dude, just get one with a gap seat between. I
Yeah.
was like, fine, let me cancel the fucking tickets. Like, I didn't realize it was that big a fucking deal. I was
That would
gonna
have
be
been
sitting
my
next
thing
to
too,
someone.
is why didn't you just make a seat gap and then do that?
I didn't think it was a big deal. Like, I
Or
don't
just
care if
sit,
I'm sitting
or just
next to
sit like
someone at
two
the
rows
theater.
fucking behind in the same general area, and then get there, and then when nobody else is in the theater, just move to the seat that you want.
I don't know, Shane. Right? Like, I didn't think it was that big a deal. And then everyone like,
You are
yeah,
wrong,
I'm like,
bro. Like,
okay, I get it. Like, I was like, I guess
yeah,
I don't want to be the guy.
Tanner's right here.
Like, and I get, and Tanner goes to the theater like 3 times a week, and what, I'm like, apparently I didn't know movie theater etiquette, and that
Movie
not
theater
just like
etiquette is very similar to urinal etiquette, bro. Like, you don't go right next to the other person at the urinal, dude.
But my thing is, most movies when I go to see them in theater, like the theater's usually packed, and so it's not like oh, well, you have the option of just, it's like, what if there's two seats next to each other where I want to sit, like that's where we're sitting. Like, you know, I don't want to sit up like this watching the fucking movie, and I'm like, I'm not sitting in the back with the
Okay.
guy who's trying to
There's
like
five
jerk
people in the
off.
fucking theater.
Yeah,
There was nobody there.
bro. Now, instead of sitting here, look at the camera. You're sitting here. That's the difference. Like,
Yes, I know. It didn't
you just put a
impede my
fucking
thing.
4 foot
All
gap of
right.
a seat between you, dude. Like, what
I know, and I did that, Zach, and that's what
is
we did, and it was fine.
If I am one of the only people in a theater and somebody come in that I don't know that sits right next to me, I'm actively trying to shit my
It's,
pants to get that person away from me.
dude, it's like one of those, like, straight up ruined my, like, the whole night is ruined. The whole time I'm sitting in that theater, not watching the movie and thinking, why did this motherfucker pick the seat right next to me? This whole theater is
Exactly.
fucking empty.
Well,
And this
well,
cocksucker had to come
yeah.
sit right next
It's
to
an
me,
act of
dude.
attrition, right? Because I'm not
Yeah.
moving. I am not moving my fucking
Oh,
seat.
no. I was
But
there
I'm
first.
going to
Fuck
make you
you.
move. I am going to make you move. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, and that's what ended up happening with my friend Troy when he went to the movies, and someone said he got up and just left. Like, I'm not doing this.
Everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 284, recording on March 4th, 2024. Sounds like a made-up date. My name is Zach Anderson. This week we are talking just about more layoffs. Nintendo suing the hell out of... Hey, new Pokemon! New Pokemon to talk about! Yay! To do this, I have with me, as always, Shannon fidgeting and spinning more.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How you doing? How it's been a week, and we're only 4 days into March.
It's week at hands, he said on Monday.
Yeah, it did not joke around today. So, you know, I'm ending my 43rd revolution on this planet with a whimper and a scream.
You got some time. You got a couple of weeks.
I mean, 2 weeks, right? And then, but, you know, I mean, I went to bed, like, on Saturday, and I slept wrong. So now, of course, like, my whole, like, nervous system in my back is, like, deciding to, you know, just oust me for being old.
Yeah, that's good times.
Yeah. You know, it's great when you have your weekend birthday party for your son, who's, you know, turning, like, 7.
Mm-hmm.
And like everybody, all of the family that's sitting around at the birthday party is talking about how they sleep and their beds, because, like, you know, everybody's having back and, like, neck and hip pain. So it's like, oh yeah, we have, you know, you got to compare mattresses and who flips and rotates and who doesn't. And, like, I'm like, this is my life now. This is sad. Welcome. Put me out the pasture, bro.
Welcome to decade number 4.
It's only gonna get worse.
I am a flipper and a rotator, by the way.
You see, I got a purple mattress, and they say you don't have to do either of those, but, like, that thing, like,
you gotta at least rotate. Yeah,
bro,
rotate.
Like, it weighs like 200 pounds too, like, probably more than that, maybe 3.
Yeah,
so yeah, it's gonna be a chore.
Well, you know, you'll hurt your back even more.
Exactly. That, so.
Also joining us, as every week, Justin Movie Monster Carter.
It's your boy. Yeah, no, so funny enough, too. So this week we watched, so Megan's sister from Ireland is visiting. And last night we watched back to back. We watched Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2, the Super Mario Brothers movie, and then Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Madness. And after watching all three, I was like sitting there, I was like, dude, did we really just nonchalantly watch 3 animated movies in a row where the entire plot was like to save New York?
That's
like
funny.
Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs 2, the whole big driving force to, like, is like saving Lady Liberty, and then Mario, it's New York, and then Turtles, it's New York. And I was like, god damn, I was like, they're all connected somehow.
That's funny.
Interesting. I do like Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 2 for the humor in it. Like, the leak in the boat is probably, like, so on the nose, but it's, like, so hilarious. Like, their comedy was definitely brought up a notch from the first one. But I think I like the first movie a little bit better.
Like, I do like both, and I'm actually surprised we don't have a third one yet. Supposedly it's in the work, and I've heard the name pitched that it's Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs 3, Planet of the Grapes. Okay. And I'm like, okay, like, I'm like, all right, I like this, like, let's get rolling with that.
I got stuck watching Boss Baby and Boss Baby 2 this weekend.
Sorry. I was about to say that. I was like, I've never seen either of them, but are you going to talk about them in the spoiler zone, Shannon? Were they that good?
I mean, no. I just gonna shove it under the carpet and leave it there to die, hopefully.
All right. You're gonna leave it in a car with the windows rolled up.
Damn, did that get dark,
parked,
bro?
In downtown Phoenix.
In July.
Oh, man, dude.
Bleak.
There's a bleak in the boat.
Yeah, there is a bleak in the boat. There's a show title for you. Yes, Bleak in the Boat. Yeah, so it, I don't think attacks on New York are quite what makes you a movie monster.
No, it's not. So if you listen to the cold intro to this episode, you know, I've been reprimanded by individuals, Zach and Shannon, not excluded from this, but for... You know, I did not see the problem in sitting next to someone in a movie theater, but that being prefaced, when there's only a handful of people in the theater, I guess it's frowned upon to book a seat next to one of the only other few people in the theaters that you don't know. And, you know, I didn't know. To me personally, I wouldn't care, but I guess for the majority of other people, it is kind of like a day ruiner, as Zach called it.
So I'm not sure if this made the intro, but the whole setup to this, Justin, was you coming to us like, My friend Tanner is fucking crazy. Like, I did this and he got so mad. Like, can you believe this bullshit? And me and Shannon were both like, he is 1,000% correct. What is wrong with you? And yeah.
Right, dude, you were this guy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's how it was. You're like, can you believe this? And we're like, yes. 100% I can believe this. You were
telling that story and the vein in my forehead was like throbbing. Like I was going to have an aneurysm for your friend. I was so
Shannon's
mad.
Apple Watch is like, whoa, man, like get off the treadmill. Like, your shit is going through the roof right now.
Yeah. Are you working out? Do you want me to record this? No, Apple, shut up. Oh. Yes, I mean, are you one of the people that like looks at a burrito and you're like, I'm gonna eat this sideways? Like, no,
I mean, I'm not a monster, Shannon. All right. Whoa. Okay, maybe a movie monster, not a burrito monster.
Okay, like, all right. Your savagery knows no bounds when it comes to movies.
Yes, Macho Man Justin Carter.
That's why I'm not allowed at that Harkins anymore because apparently. Booking.
Oh man. Yeah, I do not know what I would do if somebody walked into a movie theater where I was by myself and decided to sit down next to me.
You're just trying to enjoy your evening watching Madam Web and here comes Justin sitting right next to you, bucket of popcorn spilling on your lap. Oh, excuse me, sorry.
Yeah. I'm like elbowing Shannon. I'm like, have you seen Sweeney Todd over here in Euphoria?
Oh yeah, that's the worst. Like the double down and just like have the person start talking to you too. Like, oh
yeah, Mystery Science Theater 3000 with the stranger in the movie theater.
Oh Jesus.
Oh man, it's so bad. Ugh.
And then just the icing on the cake is I take my shoes off and I'm not wearing socks and I'm just like
I would dragging get up my and feet. I would get up and leave so fast.
That's when I go. I go find a manager and say, hey, I need a refund on this movie because I can't do this.
And then, hobbit feet up there on that balcony.
Whoa! God, damn. I'm just catching strays left and right over here.
Are you catching them?
Poke the bear, bro.
I kind of think you invited them. Invited the strays.
All right. Like you got me there.
You ruined it. You ruined the whole podcast. Now for like another hour, we're gonna have to watch him sulk on our monitors while we talk about things.
He'll be all right. He bounces back.
Justin, we love you. We only do this because we love you.
I know you're just trying to make me a better person despite my own endeavors, and for that, you know, I respect you and love you guys both.
Also, keep your shoes on an airplane. Other hot tip. Just saying. Is that the worst when someone next to you takes their shoes off on an airplane? It's like, what are you? You're not in your house. The hell?
I don't think I've ever had that. I can see that being an issue. Like, I've only flown literally like a handful of times, but
it's awful.
I used to fly quite frequently for my job. I would say only maybe like 1 out of 10 times would I have somebody like take their shoes off, like get that comfortable. But like I had some bad luck with like flying passengers, like, you know, having like seat companions. Like most of the time it was somebody who, like, if there was a seeing eye dog or there was a like an animal of some type that needed to be on the plane, it was in the seat next to me. I've had many a dog sit next to me on a flight. But I mean, yeah, it's dog breath or stinky feet. I don't know which one I would rather smell.
See, the thing with people in airplanes is they know they're never going to see you again. So no one cares. That's the conclusion I've come to. It's just like, yeah, I might piss this guy off, but who cares? I'm never going to see him again. And it's like, or how about you just have some self-respect a little bit? Like,
this is the day and age of Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. Your picture is going to be up there with some gnar feet causing somebody some distress. I'll tell you that much.
Your bunions are going to be all over Twitter, dude. Like, free feet pics for everyone.
Ugh, yeah. And somebody, you know, and that's the gross thing, too, is somebody finds that hot.
Hey, I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum, man. You do you.
Just you're like...
We just yucked Justin's yum for like 5 minutes.
His yum wasn't sitting in the lap of the person that bought his their seat to go see some indie horror movie. You know, it was more, I want my seat, and that's my seat.
Yeah, it was more just, I sit in a very specific row in the middle, and regardless of whether or not someone's sitting there, I just wanted to sit in the middle where I always sit.
Okay, noted.
Noted.
Duly noted.
Going with my drunk ass to go see Cocaine Bear must have been a real chore for you, because we were over in the ass corner of that theater.
No, we were in the middle. We were in the were middle. Were we? You were really? In the ass corner.
Yeah, I'll tell you where you were, the men's theater, bathroom with your head in the bowl. And, like, the trailer's 30 seconds in and you're over here fucking yelling about Timothy Charlemagne or something, and Zach's like, dude, Jan, I need you to shut the fuck up right now.
So it was Charlie at a Chocolate Factory that we saw? That was the preview?
I don't remember what it was. Yeah, it might have been. No, it was some, like, it was like Joaquin Phoenix or some shit. And it was like where he's like walking through paintings, or it was some weird fucking like A24.
Oh, yeah. It was that A24 movie. Yeah. God, I forget the name of it. But yeah, Shannon just being like, what the fuck is this bullshit? And I'm like, you need to, I need you to tone that way down. Like, shit. I know we're in Cocaine Bear, but
there are standards.
Well, it's more like, I don't want you to get drug out of here by the police, because we're obviously not okay at this point.
It's like in the lobby. He's like, well, you're not making popcorn anymore. Like, no one wants to make popcorn anymore.
The War of 1812. Yeah. It was lost that day.
Dude, it was loco, man.
good times. You know it's not good times? The entire state of the gaming industry right now, it's on fire. I think it's safe to say Rome is burning, Nero is playing fiddles.
Video games as we know it are coming to an end. This podcast will be over. There will be nothing for us to talk about. It's all bad.
Well, okay. Not that much. Again, Shannon, I need you to turn it down a little bit. But I think it's safe to say things are very much changing. And I'm not sure if it's for a good way or a bad way. Not yet. Like, so Sony laid off or is going to lay off 900 additional people. EA is doing a round of layoffs of a couple hundred people. We're getting... you know, word that EA has canceled some games, like a Mandalorian game that was coming out. The Sony layoffs appear to be attached to the fact that they've abandoned their, you know, 10 live service games in 10 years initiative. Which, you know, because like their established studios were getting, were losing people, which, you know, raise some eyebrows when, you know, you put out Spider-Man 2. And then you have to lay people off? Like, what? That math ain't mathin'. I'm not sure about that. But when you do a little digging, you see like, oh, that's because also Insomniac was supposed to be creating this live service game as well. And then that got canceled. So all the people that were working on that live service game are no longer working at Insomniac. And it sucks. But I think it's... I mean, from everything I'm reading, it... essentially, none of these companies have any idea where the video game industry is going. Because, like, everyone put big bets into live service, and then everyone kind of came to the conclusion at the same time, hey, that doesn't work. These don't make money. You know, Suicide Squad being the latest, you know, glorious disaster of that experiment. And so they've all abandoned it, but now it's like, okay, well, where's it going? Well, it isn't VR. Because that was first, and that failed. And then, live, you know, the Battle Royales came, and then the Battle Royales left. And then live service came, and then now live service has left. And no one knows where the puck is going to. Everyone's skating, but no one seems to know where the puck's going to anymore. And it's a really weird time. I can't really remember... you know, I've been playing games for 40 years and I don't really remember a time where it felt this disjointed as a consumer. you know, things are still coming out. Things are still good. Games are still being released, but there's just this cloud of like a huge instability over the entire industry right now. And I'm not really sure where it goes. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I think, you know, games have never been as expensive to make as they have been, as they are now, which I get it. But I think the big problem was last year, right? Like everybody dropped a massive title of some in some way, shape or form, right? Mm-hmm. Something that grabbed attention for a couple weeks. And I think that did the video game industry a big disservice, right? Because now you have, instead of having a handful of games soak up that revenue and like keep those studios open, keep those games, you know, evolving. Now you have all these companies getting smaller chunks, right? So now you're spending more money to make these bigger games and you're getting less a return on your investment because you have all these other games that you're competing against. There was like way more competition, right? I mean, like you and me and Justin all played what, 20, 30 games last year?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's not, I mean, like to the average consumer who's maybe buying like, you know, one or two games a year, now you're buying like, you know, maybe you're not buying the ones that you would expect to buy, right? Like you would be, you have more options. So your money doesn't go as far to these bigger developers or to the people who are developing games, right? So now they got to lay all these people off, right? Because like they spent all this money, they didn't get the profit back that they were expecting, and they have to downsize. And I think, you know, competition is a good thing in some ways, but I think last year there was so much competition that now we're all kind of left to kind of feel those repercussions with the studios closing down or layoffs or, you know, however the industry is going to correct itself.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point about the competition, because at the same time, while all these massive games were getting released, there was also, you know, the antithesis of competition with everyone acquiring everyone else. There was this whole consolidation on the other side of that coin. And now, you know, with Embracer falling apart, essentially, like, I don't know if you saw, but there were three or four Embracer studios that essentially like bought themselves back in the last 2 weeks and are now independent studios again.
Great.
Yeah, which is awesome. And was it Remedy got the rights to Control back? You know, like there's some things, and I think you're going to see a little bit of a move away from consolidation, because honestly, I think that might be the path, is smaller games, smaller studios, and then it builds itself back up. Because I mean, even look at some of what the bigger hits have been, you know, Pal World, Bellatro, like I'm just going off, you know, Helldivers, just going off the what the you know, from this year, the releases from this year. I mean, sure, there's your Final Fantasy VIIs, but a lot of the stuff that made waves are smaller teams and smaller studios. And, you know, Helldivers has an agreement with Sony for distribution, but it's not a Sony Studios game, you know? And so it'll be interesting to see if maybe that's the move. Cause like there's always been indies, right? And there's always been like those indie gems that rise to the surface and make big waves and make big money. But maybe that's where, you know, these bigger, the Microsofts, the Sonys, the Nintendos of the world can just put a few more dollars that way, a little more effort towards that, but without actually acquiring, but just for distribution. Things like Helldivers, a perfect example. And those teams get a little few more resources to make a better game that's still a smaller thing.
Mm-hmm. It will be interesting to see what Helldivers does, right? Because, like, yeah. I mean, right now you only have... It's a very basic game, right? It kind of started out like Destiny did, like when Destiny was the OG, like, thing, right? Mm-hmm. You had, like, three planets in Destiny. You had three different, like, things that you were killing. And it was rinse and repeat. And, like, for a while there, it was pretty stale, right? You know, there wasn't too much on that stick. Like Helldivers, I kind of feel is kind of in that same kind of vein. You got the Terminators and you got the bugs. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, granted, like the one thing that they have is like, it's kind of like an ever-changing scale where, you know, robots and bugs are taking, can take back planets that you guys have like purified, so to speak. So there's kind of like this ongoing battle there, which makes it a little bit more engaging. But how long is that going to be engaging for?
Right.
And yeah, I think if Sony does kick them some more money, I think that would be advantageous to keep that property alive. But yeah, it'll be, I don't know what's next on the horizon for the gaming industry. I think it's more, I think they need to go away from this multiplayer kind of thing and go back to a single player experience. I think.
Sure.
I think a smaller single player experience.
That's really expensive though. To do, you know, the Sony method of your big story driven single player game is expensive as hell.
But that's what we talk about all the time. We don't want the big one, right? Like you and me, we don't have the time to put to, I mean, like even though I'm looking at 200 hour games that I have to play on my horizon, like, you know, I mean, typically like having like a 10 to 15 hour experience single player would be great, right? I mean, like that's a good experience.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. It might have been last week, 2 weeks ago, about Spider-Man 2 is, you know, a way to cut that cost is just make a smaller game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Spider-Man 2. I love doing all the side stuff, but maybe it doesn't need to have all the side stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Justin, I mean, your thoughts.
Yeah, I was going to say, Justin, what
yeah, no, I mean, I was letting you go because I agree with what you, I think we are kind of starting the transition of them being like, oh, you know, single player games are good again. And like, people want that. And currently, I kind of think, you know, the like hotness or whatever in games is kind of like the Helldivers, the like Lethal Company, the like, you know, that's kind of they're kind of picking up that mantle of like the Among Us style of like game where it's like, oh, you know, you're playing on Twitch with your friends and like doing this and you're getting a group of like four people to buy this game, you know, the God damn it. I almost wanted to call it Renfield, the Redfall or whatever, you know, like that's what, like, what they were trying to do. Like, hey, you know, get three more friends and play together and shoot vampires. Like, that's what they're trying to do. It's just there's like, you know, and for every 60 that release, there's maybe like 10 that like actually like really take off. And then out of those 10, there's maybe like 5 that kind of like become like the meta of you see it all over Twitch and Twitter and whatever. And people like talk about it for like a month after it comes out. But no, dude, it's just sad. It's like every week, man, you like open up, you know, IGN or Destructoid or whatever, and just see a fucking new article that this company just laid off another 300 people, 900 right. people. Like, it's just disheartening. It's like, you know, there's never been like stability really in the game industry, like job wise, you know, it's like usually, okay, yeah, you know, you work on a project and then you get let go or whatever, you kind of go on to the next thing. Like sometimes if it's a live service thing, yeah, it's going to kind of continue on. But man, dude, it's just like, there's nowhere for these people to go. Like at the rate it's going, like there's no jobs for these people to go into.
Right.
Like, and it's like, you know, no one really wants to, you know, you hear all these people that are like, yeah, dude, I just fucking bought a house, or, you know, my wife just had a kid and then now I just got fucking laid off. And right. like, I don't know where to go. Like there, no one's like really hiring for like what I'm trying to fucking do. And
well, that's where new studios come from, right? Like some of these people got to have ideas. Like, you know, some of them are like kicking around stuff inside their brains. They're like, hey, like desperate times are going to create desperate measures, right? And if you can go out and you can get a business loan and like, you know, make a little like LLC, so that way when you lose your money, you don't have to like come out of pocket with it, then, you know, put together negative space.
But that's the rub. That's the rub though, is right now those loans don't exist.
Like, yeah, that's the hard part is, yeah, like there's no funding. Like there's no funding to kind of like support, like to fuck around and find out with these projects. And, you know, like as much as everyone's like, yeah, you know, oh, they can just go indie or whatever. Like you're saying, like, oh, dude, just fucking Kevin Smith it and get like 8 fucking credit cards and do whatever. But it's like, dude, some of these people need like healthcare and yeah. like shit too. And it's like, yeah, some people aren't in that position. Just like, yeah, I can like fuck around for a couple months, and you know, if it happens, it happens, and if it doesn't, it's like, no, dude, I need like something yesterday. Mm-hmm. For this,
so. I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Like, you live in the Bay Area and this happens, like, you're like, fuck, what do I do? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, it's just, I get it. I mean, my cousin's husband worked at Sony and was one of the people that got laid off. So, you know, I mean, it was just, you know, it came out of left field for a lot of people. And I know in the news, they make it seem like, oh, yeah, like it was mainly like their VR department that got hammered. And I was like, well, you know, sorry, Jordan, but like, you know, it doesn't look like it looks like you got a pretty expensive headpiece now for nothing. But yeah, it's everywhere. I mean, it's everything. It's every department. So, you know, it's a bummer because it's PlayStation, it's Sony. Like, you want to see them succeed, and like, there should be no reason why they didn't. But I don't know.
Well, I mean, the reason is fairly straightforward. It's they bet on the wrong horses and put too much money out there.
They bet on greed is what they did, right? Like, what's going to line their pockets? Oh, games as a service, because then we can just nickel and dime everybody. And you know what? People fucking hated it, you know?
But I think that's where the reckoning is coming from, is like, okay, so now what do we do? Because, like you were saying earlier, these games have gotten exponentially more to make, you know, and they need DLC and live service and everything to justify the expense of making them. Because now we put a tail on it and we can keep making money off it after it's released, which justifies the cost. Okay, none of that works. So now what? Do we keep making Spider-Man 2 and not really making a lot of money? You know, like, do we spend years and hundreds of millions of dollars to make, you know, a very small percentage of profit? That doesn't seem like a smart idea. You know, and so I think that's where they're at, is everyone's trying to find the answer and no one really seems to have it right now.
I mean, yeah, I mean, and everything has its own caveat, right? Like, I mean, because, like, I mean, you go, okay, games can't stay at $70. They can't. Yeah. They go up to, let's say they go up to $80, right? Now you have people that are pissed because a game is $80, right? And yep. Now you need to make sure that your game is fucking tits when it comes out, right? Like, you need to make sure it is on point. Like, there's no, there, you know, you're not fixing it once you've released it, mm-hmm. right? Because that's going to piss off customers, right? Like, you need to make sure that you're maximizing your profit. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, right? Because, like, now you have to also come up with a game that people want to play. You can't just put a game out at $80 and hope that people are going to buy it.
Well, I mean, the PAL Worlds and Helldivers are coming up against that now, where they're not full price games, mm-hmm. you know, they are, but they become victims of their own success when all of a sudden the servers don't work because there's mm-hmm. so many people playing them. And now it's like, on a very, very basic level, I feel, call me crazy, I know, I'm old, sorry. I feel if I pay you money for the game, I should be able to play it.
I mean, yes,
you know, correct. and there are long stretches. I mean, they've gotten it fixed now, but like Helldivers, you could not play the game. Mm-hmm. PAL World, you could not play the game.
Oh, don't even get me started. This weekend I almost quit PAL World forever.
And it's like, that's, I paid you, I should be able to use the product I paid for. And this is all of these are intertwined, right? Like, this isn't a one singular, you fix this and everything's okay problem. You're fixing that while, you know, you're putting out the fire in the kitchen while someone just threw gasoline on your front door. And, you know, you're running around with fire extinguishers. Everything's on fire. Everything's burning. What do I do? That's how I feel like the whole industry is right now. And in a weird way, you know, like I feel like we spent the last year basically like giving a eulogy over Microsoft's grave, you know, just how everything was going and how everything was trending. In a weird way, I almost think Sony's worse. Like, I think they're in a worse position. You know, they had bigger hits and Spider-Man 2, and now they did get Final Fantasy 7. But I mean, there's nothing really coming down the pipe, and they're showing you that they don't really know what their plan is. Where Microsoft, at least, I mean, they're cutting people too and everything, and they're also not sure the direction of the game industry, but you at least see their plan. It's like, okay, we bought a bunch of studios. We're going to keep creating Call of Duty and Minecraft and all these things, you know, Diablo. People are going to buy these things, and then we're just going to keep dropping these studios we acquired. We're going to keep dropping their games onto Game Pass and hope one hits. That's their plan, you know? And I can't say that Sony has the same, at least, like, baseline. And if they do, I don't know what it is. I'll say it like that. Maybe they do, but I don't see it.
And so I think this is what people have to do. You have to return to form. Like, you need a safe year, mm-hmm. right? You need a safe release cycle. So go back to your well, find the games that were like your PlayStation hits, or like, you know, the ones that people went for. Like, get your Resistance Fall of Man, get your Infamous, get your, you know, if you're Xbox, get Gears of War back, get you know, somebody out there, find Mass Effect and figure out what's going on at EA with Mass Effect. Like, get the games that people, there was a huge following for, and like, do another one of those well, right? Like, it's the comfort food of video games that everybody is craving for, and like, you guys have yet to come back and do. And it's like, we're not asking for innovation. We're not asking for like some groundbreaking tech. Just make it solid. Make it good. Make it a good experience. Like, that's what it is. I think that's what people need.
I love how you always manage to work Resistance into
all. Yeah, I do, because it's for me. Yeah. It's a little bit of me in there, right?
I know. I got you.
I didn't say Heavenly Sword.
Well, but Sony's already said there's no sequels to existing properties or new games from existing properties coming until at least 2025.
I mean, that's the thing. That's what I'm saying, is like, Sony has always missed the mark on everything, right? So it's just, I mean, that's par for the course. But like, that's what's needed. If like, there's a conversation to be had, it should be, let's go back to these properties that people love and hold near and dear to their hearts and make money off of that. Nintendo's been doing it for 25 years.
Yeah, and it's so hard because it's two sides of the same coin, because you get the people where it's like, oh, okay, yeah, say they do another Mass Effect and they play it real safe, and it's like, yeah, it's new Mass Effect. Like, oh, it's just Mass Effect again, like, whatever. And then you try to do like your Callisto Protocols, where it's just like, oh, it's worse Dead Space. So it's like, you try to do something new and then it gets like shit on, and then you try to play it safe and you do the whatever, and it's just like, oh, it's just this again. Like, it's, they didn't really improve on anything, and it's just whatever again. You're like, oh, cool. It's, oh, Starfield, cool. It's fucking Fallout in space. Like, that is what it is. Like, it's not, oh, cool, it's worse No Man's Sky. Yeah, so it's so hard. And my thing, though, when you brought up the $80, like, I feel like the people who are willing to pay $70 for a game would be willing to pay $80 for a game. Like, I don't think that's like that crazy. Like, the people who will wait for it to be on sale are still going to wait for it to be on sale. And the people that want to play it day one, I mean, they're basically doing that now with all the like, with fucking like Suicide Squad. Like, cool, you get to play the game a week early if you pay the $20. And I have friends who fucking do that. Like, they pay the fucking $89. Hogwarts, like, I had friends who paid the fucking extra $20 to play Hogwarts Legacy 4 days early or whatever.
Mortal Kombat 1 had a $100 version, you know, that had some extra skins and some early access. You know, yeah. Like, it's
like, they're already doing it. They're just making it an option instead of making it mandatory. So I feel like, though, you know, it's just like Xbox. When the Xbox One came out and it was full digital, everyone lost their shit, and then fucking Microsoft backed off of it. And then now it's like, everything's going full digital anyway. Like, Alan Wake doesn't have a fucking disc. Like, they're doing discless games now, and they have versions of the Xbox and PlayStation that don't even have disc drives. So it's like, you know, everyone lost their shit about it, but then it slowly worked its way back to that anyway, once everyone calmed down about it.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, the fall of Xbox from the launch of the Xbox One, man. I want that documentary or that book, because holy shit, like, talk about a masterclass in how to ruin a brand.
Dude, where they had the two page, like, how trading in your Xbox One games at GameStop is going to work, where it's digital and it's like, yeah, you know, everyone's like, they have a kiosk or some shit that, like, redeem the key to your game.
And then what was it, like a week before the system launch, they're like, JK, guys, totally fine being offline, except not right away. That patch is coming in like 2 months, but still, it's going to be fine. Don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. God, what a nightmare.
Dude, wait. Side tangent really quick. But speaking of the man behind the curtain, did you see the fucking Willy Wonka experience shit that was
I saw Twitter? What is that? I don't even know what that
is. So I'll tell you what happened real quick. So it was hilarious, dude. I was dying. So basically, someone used AI, like ChatGPT, whatever fucking program, to make like art of this, like, oh, it's this Willy Wonka experience thing, and it's at this location, you bring your kids and do whatever, and you know, and it looked like, you know, hey, there's mushrooms, and like, what they made it look, the AI art made it look like, oh dude, it looks like you're like walking on like the set kind of like Willy Wonka, whatever, and really it was like this warehouse that had some like, you know, spirit Halloween decorations, and it was like the saddest looking. It was $40 a ticket to this Willy Wonka experience, and people took videos, and it's like this shitty like cardboard rainbow and like the typical like Spencer's like Willy Wonka glow in the dark blanket thing that's like taped to the wall for you to take a picture of, and there was like people in like half-assed Oompa Loompa like makeup whatever stuff like doing, they're giving kids like 3 jelly beans a piece because they ran out of candy. And they had this person that was called the unknown, like hiding behind a mirror, and they were wearing some like spirit Halloween mask that would kind of like jump out. It's like, what character is this from Willy Wonka? Like, there's just people on stilts and like wearing, like, there was no Willy Wonka shit, and people like wanted a refund. The cops got called because people wanted their money back from the experience. Oh, man.
That's awful.
It was just a nightmare, but it was so funny.
Come with me and you'll see a world of spirit decorations. That's I'm glad people called the cops. I would be not happy if I spent $40 to take my kids to that. In conclusion, no one knows. Everything's screwed. Should be an interesting couple of years, though. You know, like,
interesting for who?
I think for us, being people that aren't directly employed by the video game industry, but you know, paying attention from the sidelines, I think, you know, that's the thing, is there's so many big things out there that no one talks about. You know, we don't talk about Fortnite or Roblox or Minecraft or, I mean, hell, even World of Warcraft still. Like, these huge players in the video game space that take up a lot of people's time and a lot of people's money, that I think you're really seeing some of the effects in the rest of the industry, when it's like, yeah, you have X amount of million people playing games. Yeah, but no one's looking for the new one. Everyone's playing their game. You know, I mean, shit, look at me with like, what was it, 2 years ago, I played, 300 hours of Vampire Survivors and another 200 hours of Power Wash Simulator. Like, I wasn't playing shit. I played 2 games. You know what I mean? Like, and was happy. Like, it's not that I didn't have games I could play. I wanted to play those because I enjoyed them. And, you know, I think that happens. You get people that are like, yeah, they play video games every day, and it's Call of Duty. That's what they play. Every day.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Or Fortnite.
Or they log into Roblox and play with their boys, you know, the younger people. And that's all they're trying to do. You could come out with banger after banger after banger, and they don't care, because that's not where their friends are. And that's not what they want to do. And I think trying to crack that, I think that's why live service as a movement has failed, is because, guess what? To give someone to play your live service game, you need to make them stop playing the live service game they're playing. And no one's going to do that. And so I think you're dealing with, you know, there was way too much consolidation. Pricing is off. You know, the amount of time it takes to create something of high, you know, Insomniac level quality is not in line with the money that you'll make off it. And no one knows what the next, like, you know, the next battle royale isn't there yet. No one's discovered that next thing that's going to be like, oh, that's what everyone wants. So that's what we're going to make. You know, I mean, apparently it's Survivor games, because there's like 80 million of them that have released this year. But, you know, who knows? It's a weird time. So, but I'll tell you what you can play, Shannon.
What's that?
You can play another Pokemon Legends game.
I'm down.
Yeah, that got announced. What was it? Pokemon Legends, was it ZA?
Yeah, I think it's the, like, they're going back to kind of like the X and Y kind of era, I think. So it's like the Zygarde or whatever it is. That
legendary. Which I'm down for. But yes, it looks like a more modern setting as opposed to Arceus. But similar style, hopefully. It was just an animated trailer, you know, no gameplay or anything. It's scheduled for early 2025, which lines up with our prediction of this year's your remake of Black and White, or whatever the remake is going to be. And then Legends comes next. Hopefully it's a Switch 2 launch title. Maybe. Now that speculation is that's going to be March-ish next year. So, I mean, I'll play it. Arceus ruled. So
it did. It was a great game. Justin, did you ever play that game?
No,
God, I still need to. Damn it, Justin.
I know, dude. I've literally played like every single Pokemon game except for that one. Like, I even played fucking Brilliant Diamond, and that shit sucked. Like, and I still played it and beat it.
I don't know why you hate fun so much.
I know. It's on my list. I do want to play it. I was actually surprised because, yeah, they announced that during their little Pokemon Direct, and I'm surprised that they didn't announce the remake of Black and White. It was heavily rumored that was going to happen. So I'm wondering, like, I have to assume that's still in the works, but I am wondering if that is actually going to come out this year or not, or if they're just going to, like, because of all the backlash of, you know, releasing two games a year and the quality of said games and stuff, if they are going to kind of just put it on the back burner and wait like another year or so for it.
Yeah, it seems like a waiting for the next gen software or hardware thing.
Yeah.
They better. I'm tired of them messing around with my emotions. I want that Switch 2.
when do you think we'll hear about it? Like E3 time-ish?
I mean, that's like 3 months.
Summer-ish?
Yeah, I was going to say it's like 3 months away, bro. Like, you think they're really going to put something out in 3 months?
I mean, it sounded like they wanted to go this year with it. But
they know, because they just put out like a press release saying, we're so excited to be in the eighth year with the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, once they realized they weren't going to be able to make enough consoles this year, they were like, yeah, guess what? We're not killing our own holiday this year. Hey, buy a Switch. But no, I bet you this summer we get the, hey, this is what it's going to be, and you can get it in March.
I mean, that'd be a cool birthday present for me.
It would. And buying Shannon a Switch 2 and myself a Switch 2.
And, you know, hey, maybe that's also why Nintendo was like, hey, you know that Nintendo Switch emulator? Yeah, maybe we should fucking take that down.
Yeah. Well, especially if their new hardware is going to emulate the Switch to run Switch games on it. Dude, yeah.
And that shit was crazy.
Tell the story, Justin. Yuzu is the emulator.
Yes. So Yuzu, look, as the resident pirate of the that Pixel Life podcast, let me tell you, I was shocked. So Nintendo, it came out like, I think maybe not even a week ago, that Nintendo was suing the creators of Yuzu, which is the Nintendo Switch emulator. So, and they were taking them to court. And as of today, the creators of Yuzu came out on Twitter and everywhere saying that that they had come to an agreement with Nintendo. They are shutting down. Like, they are no longer working on Yuzu. They pulled, like, all the builds of it, everything offline. They took it all down. They are paying Nintendo $2.4 million in damages. That is the number they agreed to. And I was like, dude, I was shocked that they actually took it down, because normally, like, yeah, emulators have always been, like, you know, frowned upon, whatever, but it's like always been the lesser of evil between, like, you know, the emulators aren't, it's like a morally gray area. Like, it's technically, like, not illegal. It's like the ROMs are, like, the proprietary whatever shit that you're, like, stealing, but it's like to just emulate the game is usually, like, you know, they can't usually do anything about that. But because I didn't realize this either until I did more, they have a Patreon where, you know, people pay them every month. And, like, they do special different builds, like, it early builds and stuff of the Yuzu emulator and different stuff. And they were making, like, 30K a month off Patreon for working on the Switch. I mean, it's like, okay, well, now once you're getting money, that's when you start running into, like, the mega upload situation and whatever. Once you're, like, incentivizing the pirating and you're actually, like, getting an income from it, that's when now you can get hit with the bad boy Nintendo Strike Team comes in and kicks down your fucking door.
All of this leads credence to my theory that PAL World must just be legal enough, because Nintendo is not scared to come at you with their lawyers at all. They do not hesitate.
Well, yeah, and that's my thing is, you know, if they were going to take PAL World down, like, everyone's like, oh, you know, it would have already happened. Like,
yeah,
this,
it never would have gotten that far.
Yeah, this happened. Yuzu getting taken down happened in days, like, yeah, not even 72 hours. And that shit got, like, wiped off the fucking internet. Like, if Nintendo wanted PAL World gone, it would be off the Steam store, like, within 24 hours. So it was just crazy, though. Like, I went on Reddit because I have Yuzu. I had an older version. I didn't have the latest version, whatever. So, like, I went down the Reddit rabbit hole and found someone who managed to, like, grab the last version before they completely wiped it off the face of the earth. So I actually managed to snag it before it got wiped off the internet. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, man, it's wild.
Nintendo keeps it a buck, as the kids say. They do not play out there in these digital streets. So, yeah, hope you're not making a, Metroid remake or something, Justin, because they'll come for you. You better make sure it's 35% legally different than the original.
Yes. Like, sumus abam.
Yeah. Yeah. Sumus. It's just Samus backwards. But I guess that's all the news. We don't really have a trailer stop by this week.
No, that dude was kind of creepy last week.
He was a little too eager to see us last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, he had some bad takes about Borderlands. I'm sorry. Kind of lost a little respect for him there. The Roomba.
Never have any to begin with.
The Roomba with the knives attached to it was cute, though. I have to say. So, yeah, I haven't been playing this week. Has been not the most accessible for gaming for me. So haven't really touched anything, like, literally anything outside of, like, Marvel Snap when I'm waiting somewhere. So what have you guys been playing?
So I've been playing more Yakuza, which is still fun. I'm at this point now where I don't know if it's a bug or if I'm just missing something, but, like, I'm supposed to go fight, like, one of the, like, three, like, gangs, like, one of the bosses in, like, this, like, city I'm in. And, you know, they say, oh, like, you should probably go get some weapons, get upgrade your armor and then come back here and like fight this guy. And so I was like, cool. All right. Like, you know, I have like 70,000 yen. Like, I'll just go out and get like my weapons that I need and like, you know, get everybody some armor and come back. So I buy like the best weapon at this sex shop, right? It's like it's a sex toy shop, right? But like, so like the dude, like for like, you know, Ichiban, like he's got like this massive like massage head, like club that he beats the shit out of people with.
Mm-hmm.
And then his buddy has like a little massaging one, like a smaller one that like stuns people if he hits you with it. It's like a stun baton. And then the other guy's got like this hook thing, right? And like everybody's got like work boots, like steel-toed work boots, and like a pretty like hefty jacket, like you know, that anybody who hits me right now does either 1 or 3 damage to me, right? So like I'm like, okay, cool. Like I should be pretty strong. I should be able to like go fight this guy. I go to the door and the guy's like, are you sure that's what you want? Because like you seem pretty underpowered. And I was like, bitch, like I'm smacking everybody on this street around like they owe me money. And like I'm just kicking ass and taking names. Like there's no other weapon shop I can go to. Well, actually there is, but like it's $100,000 for like one, or 100,000 yen for like one weapon, right? And like there's no other way to earn money other than just like completing quests and beating up people. So I'm like, what am I missing, right? So I took a break from that to go back to Pal World, because with their most recent patch, they did a lot of upgrading to the quality of life. So now instead of having to hold down like the X button to make stuff, if you're playing on a computer, you can just tap the F button once and it basically like toggles you to working. So like you don't have to like hold down the F button anymore. You just hit it once and then you can get up and like go make yourself a cup of coffee, like throw in like a change of laundry, and like your person's just doing that, whatever that task was. So that's cool. Fire now, like when you're incubating eggs, two fires together will now generate a substantial amount of heat, like two campfires. Three is like volcano level heat. So like if you put three fires next to each other in your camp and you get too close to it, you start taking heat damage.
That's awesome.
Because it's too hot. So, you know, there were a lot of changes that made the gameplay better. So like I went back into it because, you know, I had some eggs that I wanted to hatch that were giant fire eggs. So I wanted to see how they were going to react with the new fire.
Mm-hmm.
Which worked out very well. Like crafting like 300, you know, ammunition and 2 cakes. Like I can just hit the F button and leave and go do chores and come back like 30 minutes later and everything's built. Nice. Or done, which is cool. So yeah, I mean, it was a great experience when I could play it. The problem was, is like the servers were crashing. Like, I mean, my server was crashing almost every 5 to 10 minutes. Like the first couple times I logged in. So I was really upset about that because I died. Mm-hmm. I was in the volcano area and I had my heat resistant armor, right? But apparently like it wasn't good enough for the volcano area, cuz like, you know, you told me that you got 2 towers done, right? So I was like, "Oh, well, maybe I'll try the volcano tower and like knock that out," because I didn't have access to the cold armor. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I got to go heat, right? So, like, I can't even get to the tower in the volcano area because, like, I get killed by the heat, right? So I died heat-wise. I get respawned, and my server crashes. So I'm like, fuck, I hope I didn't lose all my shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So I log back in, and then it logs me in underneath the island. Like, I clip through the island, I'm in water. I'm like, oh shit, this is not good. Now if I die again, I'm fucked, right? So I'm like trying to figure out how to get out, right? So like I just keep going up. Like luckily I have a flying mount. So like I flew up to the top, like where it was clear. And of course there's like it's the mountain, right? It's like the top of the mountain. So like I can't get through. So finally, like after 5 minutes, it like pushes me through the mountain, like back out into like the top again. And then I'm so far in the middle of the heat area that I died again. And I was like, God dang it. So like I lost all my stuff, right? Well, luckily I had made like backup gear. So like when I re-logged in, I was just like, whatever, dude. So like I was really frustrated. So I like took like a couple minutes to just kind of like be like, do I really want to do this right now?
Yeah.
So Yeah, I got myself kind of back to where I was, and then I was just so frustrated that I just stopped playing. So that was my gaming experience.
I added a link into the chat for you to check out. It's a mod that people have developed that's a mini map for Pal World, but it also shows you the location of pals.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, oh, I bet Shannon would love that, being a PC player.
That's rad. Yeah, I'm going to have to give that a try. That would make my life infinitely easier.
Infinite, like a dragon, infinite wealth?
So I tell you, dude, like I looked so hard at that Final Fantasy game this week, sitting on my and like, you know, you want to play me? I was like, I can't do that to myself right now. Just can't.
So when you said you were playing Infinite Wealth, you said you got to the boss. Did you actually try fighting the boss though?
No, that's the thing. I can't even get in there. It's not infinite. Like a dragon. It's not infinite wealth.
Yeah, but it won't let you.
No, so basically what happens in the story is, like, there's this guy who's running a soap house, which is like a, you know, a massage parlor.
Okay.
And he's like, one of my top earners is basically not showing up to work. She's calling out sick a lot, and I'm losing money. So find out what she's doing, right? So, like, you follow her and you find out she's getting the shakedown from, like, these Yakuza people who are basically running an insurance scam. They're taking, like, all these elderly people and they're putting them up in this place, assisted living facility, and then they're murdering them inside there, and then they're basically hiding the bodies. So, and then they're basically collecting the people's insurance money. So you go there and you, like, you figure everything out. You fight, like, a crap ton of people, and then you fight, like, the Yakuza, like, mid-tier, like, Yakuza guy, right? And you beat his ass. And then he's like, I'm going to call the cops and I'll take everybody down. And then Ichiban's like, no, I'm going to go to your boss and I'm going to narc you out. And then, like, you're going to lose a whole bunch of respect, and then you're going to basically get murdered. And, like, we may go to jail, but, like, I've already been to jail, so I'm not worried about that. So the dude's like, no, like, I'll go with you and we'll talk this out together. And so, like, he basically is like your gatekeeper, right? Like, he's like, you know, I'm not going to let you go in there and make me look bad. You need to, like, look super tough when, like, we go in together, so that, like, I don't lose a lot of face when we talk to my boss. And so, like, basically he's at the front, and every time he sees me, he's like, nah, dude, like, you're not tough enough yet. Like, so, like, go back and get some better weapons. And then I got to go back out and, like, trying to figure out a way to get around that. So I don't know if, like, I got to find, like, a specific thing, or.
Is it the Siryu clan headquarters?
Yeah.
All right. So I was like, it says that you need all three armor slots and both accessory slots filled.
Oh, son of a bitch. All right.
It says that's what you have to do to be able to get in.
I love how Shannon's banging his head against the wall and Justin just Googled the answer.
Yakuza soap house boss, how to fight.
So that's the thing, right? Like, I'm playing on the Steam Deck, right? So I'm in bed. I'm cozy. I'm not looking this shit up. Like, my phone is, like, on the charger across the room, because that's how I wake myself up in the morning, because, like, I have to get out of bed, right? Like, if I just hit the snooze button, I'm going to go to sleep again. So everything is, like, away. Like, I'm not going to go look this up. I'm going to try to figure it out and be stubborn about
it. So I've started using my Apple Watch as my alarm because I find it, well, A, it doesn't wake my wife up when it goes off. And B, it's a lot more effective to just have something shaking the hell out of your wrist, annoying you, to wake you up. Because, like, my initial reaction is always like, ah! And then I'm way more awake than just a noise.
When do you charge your iWatch?
I'm doing it right now, as we speak, actually.
Shannon's like, whoa, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine, but, like, it's not tracking your steps or, like...
Am I stepping anywhere right now?
No, I guess not. I guess you're not. But, like, you are when you're done, right?
Well, that's the thing. The watch only takes like 20 minutes to fully recharge. So
no, it doesn't.
Yeah,
you must have one of the newer watches.
That's a 7. It's not brand new.
I don't know. I have to look. I have to look and see, because, like, mine takes. I feel like mine takes like a couple hours to charge.
Yeah, that's way too long. No, mine only at the most. If it's like dead, it takes like a half hour.
Well, you have to understand, Shannon also has to, like, unplug his fridge to charge his Apple Watch. So,
yeah. You're not wrong. I got like one outlet. We have like 40 things plugged into it. Yeah. So the amperage is probably pretty low.
Go to the Starbucks, get a iced chai latte, and plug your watch in for 20 minutes.
Behind his fridge looks like the Christmas tree scene from was it Christmas Story? A fuse is out.
I'll tell you right now, like OSHA would probably have a fit if like they walked into my bedroom upstairs, because it's like we have one outlet like on the far wall, like next to my
like
wife's
eight
bed.
Power strips just daisy chained together.
Yeah, essentially is what happened. So we got like a GFCI like right there, a ground fault circuit interrupter that's got like four plugs, right? And then like she's got her stuff plugged in, and then I out of the four, like I have one plug that goes into an extension cord that goes like behind the bed, and then I have a power strip that plugs into the extension cord that plugs all of my stuff in on the other side.
I'm worried for you guys. Yeah. Jesus. Forget OSHA. I mean, at least it's all starting at a GFCI. Mm-hmm. At least.
And everything in the line is GFCI too. Like, I mean, like I have a power strip that's got a GFCI in it too.
But Shannon's at night, Shannon's like, I need to turn on my white noise machine to fall asleep. And it's just a hair dryer running full blast on the floor. Like,
no, that's a good thing, is because our office, where we record in my office is right below the bedroom. So that I usually just turn on the 3D printer and it's just, you know, very rhythmic.
Nice.
worked out.
Any new parents out there, I will tell you if you're out in public and you can't get your child to sleep and they're, you know, under the age of one or so, YouTube videos of hair dryers. And it works better than white noise. I tell you, you strap them into that car seat, you throw the cover over it, you drop that hair dryer noise right on, you know, right on the outside. They're out like a light. It works like a champ. Justin looks skeptical, but trust me.
No, I've done this twice. I'm just interested. I just wonder like what it is about that noise. That
I think it's
like
just the white noise of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but yeah, you can find YouTube videos of, it's like 2.5 hours of someone just running a hairdryer.
That is crazy. Like, yeah. it probably has like a million views.
Oh, I guarantee it. Like people like me that were just like, please, I need something to put my kid to sleep. Yeah,
that's insane. Justin's looking it up right now to see like what the current rating is.
I mean, you're not dragging a white noise machine with you out in the public space, you know? Like,
no, I mean, you're 100% accurate there. Like, nobody's doing that. But like, you know, there are a lot of places. You'd be surprised how many places you'll like, be walking around and you'll find like a random white noise machine on the ground. You're like, what's that for? And they're like, babies.
Yep.
Man, dude, the top three videos I found are white noise for babies, blow dryer ASMR, 10 hours relaxing video, sleep aid, hair dryer, 22 million views. it came out 10 years ago. But then there's also this one that's relaxing hair dryer sound that's only 2 hours, no middle ads, 28 million views.
Yeah, you don't want the ads.
Yeah, how much... How much money do you think somebody's making off of that video?
A decent amount. And, you know, they put it up 10 years ago just being like, hey, this worked for my kid.
Yeah, that's wild. Like, there's a lot of smaller ones. It's just I did not even realize that was just like such a... And then as I click on it at the top, it's like sponsored. And then there's just a million hair dryers that they're trying to get you to buy.
Don't worry, they'll start giving you diaper ads and all that type of stuff now. Yeah.
Zach's going to get off of, after recording, he's going to find his white noise machine and he's just going to record it for 4 hours and put it up on YouTube.
Right, I should.
So I've been playing Persona still. Mm-hmm. I'm like maybe like almost 50 hours into it. It's been a lot of fun. But I did pick up, I was like, all right, everyone's probably getting sick of hearing Persona, whatever. So I was like, I picked up this week two new games that dropped on the Switch, both being card related games. I picked up Pocket Card Jockey, right on, which talked about last week, but I started playing it and still a lot of fun. It's a remake of the 3DS One, Shannon played it on Apple Arcade and was not really a huge fan of it, but I like it. I got my first horse. I named him Blumpkin. He's been doing a real good job.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. Little Blumpkin's won a couple races. He's going into his like fourth year. But he's been doing pretty good. But like they've made some good changes though from like the three, like visually, like they've, you know, everything's been upgraded. It looks nice. The like now there's like the way they show kind of like the like tree of like races and stuff, like the actual like, oh, your horse, like there's this whole little like branching pathway kind of like Slay the Spire or like whatever, where it's like, oh, if you win this race now you like move up to these, and it's like, oh, if you lost that race now you're working down. So they added like a lot more like better visual representation and kind of expanded upon how going into these other races work and stuff. And you know, the chick comes around that like sells items and stuff that you can buy. And they kind of, you know, made it, I guess, like I say a little easier, but it's nice because you can like use the switch screen, like you can use the touch screen and stuff to move the cards around, which is always, you know, really nice and makes sense since it was on mobile and stuff. It's already like programmed in there. But like, you know, before really, you only ever really used like the second screen at the bottom for like tapping and like, I mean, you would do the cards and stuff too, but you would also draw like during the race, like during multiple sections, you'd kind of draw where to position your horse and stuff on the track and whatever. And they've all kind of like encompassed everything just into using that one screen, which is really nice. But the second game I've been playing though, that I think Zach is absolutely gonna love it, is mm-hmm. I'm gonna butcher the name, but it's Balatro.
All right,
so it's a card game. It's essentially, I knew nothing about the game. I knew it involved poker and that was like about it. So I went in pretty blind. So the general premise is it's you're playing poker and it's like you're trying to beat like whatever, like the A, like the small blind, and then there's like a large blind and then a boss, and it's like you're like working, it constantly does that. It's like wave one and it's like that's what you do, and then you go mm-hmm. to like the next round, and you're basically trying to go as far as you can. It's very much kind of like, you know, Loop Hero or Inscription or like any of that, where it's just kind of like, okay, yeah, you do a little better each time, and you're trying to like with this one, it is technically a deck builder. Like, you do start with a 52-card deck, but as you're playing, you're, like, collecting new cards to add to your deck. Sometimes you can destroy cards, and it gets weird because it's like, yeah, you have your 52, your normal cards, your ace through two of all different suits, but you have also, like, tarot cards that like do different abilities and stuff, and you can upgrade your cards. Like, one of the upgrades, you can upgrade your card to a glass card that like mm-hmm. increases your multiplier, but it has like a 20% chance of also breaking upon use. So it's like, you know, sometimes it's like, do you want to risk using it and it might break? There are Joker cards that you collect, and those are like static. They're not in your actual deck. They're like static up at the top. You can have up to, I think, 5 of them at any given time. Sometimes like you can unlock a new slot or whatever. Sometimes it's less depending on what you're doing. But there's over, I think they said there's like 150 different Jokers, and they do different things. And like some of them, it's like, oh, every time you play like a heart suit, like it, you gets like +4 or whatever to your multiplier for your score. Or one makes it so that every face card double triggers. So then it makes like all your like kings, queens, jacks, like the points you're getting, because you're trying to play hands of poker. So it's like you're two of a kind, your full house, your flush, your royal flush, or whatever. And there's like a scoring system where it's like you get this many points, and then you get each point per card used at like face value. So it's like 9 is worth 9 chips or whatever. 10, jack, queen, king, I think are all worth 10, and then ace is 11. And it's like, you know, it double triggers those, and you're trying to like beat the blinds. It's like, oh, I need 300 chips or whatever, and I have like five hands or whatever to do it, and you get three discards, and it's like, cool, so you can discard this many cards and then draw. And I learned like a lot of tips and tricks like when playing that I didn't know at first. Like, A, you do not have to have like a hand of five. You do not have to submit five cards every time. You can, if you have like a pair and that's like the best and you want to hold on to the rest of your cards, you can just throw the pair out, get the score, and be done. You do not have to like throw out three dead cards with it. Sometimes it's beneficial to get them out of your hand if you just like don't want them.
So you but you don't have to use all the cards.
Right. Yeah. You do not have to use all the cards. You don't have to even put out five cards. Like there's times where it's like, okay, well, I have like two pairs, so I'm just putting out those four cards and keeping the rest of my cards. And then you draw like, you know, back up to hand size. And what's nice is you can also peek at your deck and it pulls up a chart that kind of shows you like what's left in your deck. So like if I'm trying to go for like a, you know, flush of hearts or whatever, I'm like, okay, I have three in my hand. If I ditch four cards, like how many hearts are left in my deck? Like what are the odds that me throwing away four, I'm going to draw what I need to actually pull this off? So that's nice. And you can also position the jokers like in order. Like you can rearrange the order of the jokers, which is important depending on how, just like Magic, triggers stack, and depending on how you have the jokers positioned, they trigger left to right. So with certain multipliers, like stuff that like you like multiplies everything by two or whatever, like you want that shit at the end once all the other multipliers have gone off, so that you then that gets to it. Because if you put that up front, then it's like, oh cool, yeah, eight times like two or whatever, then yeah, that's 16, whatever. But if you put that at the end after everything's gone off, it's like now that's 32 times two, and that's 64, and that makes a big difference when scoring. And I was like, oh shit, like I didn't even realize that at first. And I was like, dude, I've been doing this all fucking wrong. But there's different decks as well in the game. Like there's like the backs of the cards look different. Like there's the red deck, and that makes it so that you get an extra discard like per hand. There's the blue deck, which then gives you like an additional hand or whatever that you get to like play out. The green one, which is the one I'm currently playing with, is you get more money based off like the amount. If you beat the boss or whatever, it's like, oh, I have this many hands left and this many discards. It pays you out way better, because that's like the money aspect is kind of the part where stuff kind of gets cinched, because you get a shop in between rounds and you can buy jokers, or there's booster packs that have planet cards and like your tarot cards and whatever that like improve your, oh, you get better scores for full houses or two of a kind, or this like turns your card into this now and do whatever. So, and it's like really hard to earn money. So it's like, you have to be very diligent about like what you're buying and like, okay, like is this, I'm trying to do like this type of combo with this deck. Like, is this joker worth buying? And you can sell jokers too. Like you can sell those cards back, which is nice, because sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, like this is pretty good. And they're all right, now I have this setup going on, so I don't really need this joker. So I can sell that for a couple bucks to make room and kind of work towards it. So there's like a lot of strategy and like a lot of just like, oh, like this run, this is working out. And it's like, oh man, I've had ones where I'm like, oh man, like round one, my hand's just like dog shit, and it's, I'm like, dude, this run is like pretty much dead on arrival right now. Like I'm gonna be shocked if I get very far, because like I'm not getting good jokers, like my hands just aren't working out how I want it to. So it has that like variance to just like, okay, one more round, like let me just play like another, that last round, fuck that round, that round sucked, we're going into the next round. The biggest thing that I love about it is, in terms of not wasting your time, though, there is an option that if you go into your profile, whatever that you set up with the game, in like the option menu, you can immediately unlock everything in the game. Like all the Joker cards, all the whatever, you can fucking unlock it all.
Oh, really?
Yes, which is awesome. Because then it's like, because normally it's like, oh, like even all the different decks, like there's a red deck, yellow deck, green deck, blue deck, whatever. Like, normally it's like, oh, you have to, like, there's certain requirements. You have to beat the game and do this or do whatever to unlock those decks. And it's like, dude, if you want to just fucking unlock everything right now to just play with it, just click this button. And that's what you do. And the caveat is, I know on Steam and stuff, it's like, oh, if you do this, though, then you're not going to get the achievements for it. But it's like, bro, I'm playing on Switch. Like, there's no achievements anyway, so it's a win-win. I'm like, I just want to play with the cards, and I want all of my options. Like, yeah, you know, I'm playing fucking Persona. I'm like 50 hours into that. I have easily like another fucking 50 hours of that game.
Just let me enjoy the game.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, what time I have to play it, like, I want to play, not like, and that's the other thing too, because I didn't want to be like, oh, you know, this run's going really good. Here's this Joker card. It doesn't work with what I'm trying to do, but I want to buy it because by buying it, it unlocks in my collection. And that's like building up my collection to unlock other shit. So it's like, man, dude, I'm going to buy it just to unlock it, just to fucking do whatever to unlock other shit. Mm-hmm. But now it's like everything's unlocked. So I don't have to buy anything to do anything because my collection's full now. So I can just buy what I need to actually beat the fucking game.
Right, right.
So, but I think you'd be a huge fan. I don't imagine anything
sounds,
Canon would be interested in, but
it sounds like 1,000% my shit. I'll admit, you know, like, it,
yeah.
Yeah. How much is it?
It's $14.99.
And it's cheap.
Yeah, it's in that magic. It's in that magic price zone. And it's like the perfect like Switch / like Steam Deck style game where
it's in that. Does money even exist? Price range, you know.
It is Steam Deck verified too.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
But I knew as soon as I was playing it, I told Megan, I was like, dude, Zach's gonna fucking love this game. Oh my
god. Yeah.
Big like inscription, so it's by build the deck, like it's poker, but it's not poker, it's fucking weird.
It's got big Zach energy.
Big Zach energy.
that's like one of those games that like Zach is gonna disappear down that rabbit hole pretty hard if he gets
100%. Dude, I bought it and I literally played it until 11:30 like at night, and I was so tired. Megan's sister came home from her friend's house and my pro controller died and the USB cord was in the kitchen, so I was standing in the kitchen leaning in the living room playing, and she's like, dude, you look really fucking tired. And I was like, I'll tell you what, I am really tired. And she's like, well, why don't you just go to bed? I'm like, because this is the furthest I've gotten in this fucking game, and I am on a hot streak right now, and you do not quit when you're on a hot streak. So I like stayed up for like another 30 minutes until eventually I got my ass handed to me.
That Wolf of Wall Street meme. I'm not fucking leaving.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, man. I like this is 100% going to be a, and now it's 2 a.m. On your game of the year list type game.
For sure. Well, all right. Do we have any spoilers? Is there any sirens?
Yeah, you want to tell us about Boss Baby Shane?
No, I don't, bro. Like, does Zach want to tell us about his tear jerking experience with Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, I guess
oh yeah,
good.
Yeah.
I finally watched Guardians 3. And no, I wasn't prepared. I mean, you told me it was sad. I knew it was going to be a sad bastard movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
I knew that. And so, like, most of the movie, I was just like, oh, no, it's sad. But, like, it's a, like, I get it. It's an end. Like, I understand. You know, like, we're going. And, okay, but the scene, right? There's a very specific scene, and we're in spoiler zone. So Rocket has been down and out the whole time, right? They're moving heaven and earth to try to save him, taking on the High Evolutionary. They're coming together as a team to try to like save Rocket. And he's constantly flashing back to how he became Rocket, essentially. And it's this heartbreaking story. And the, they finally get the passcode so they can heal him. They heal him. And then Nebula gets on the comms and is like, hey, where are you guys? We're here. And they're like, we're not there. Like on the High Evolutionary ship. Are you insane? Like I got out of there, but they're stuck there now. And they're like, fuck, we're here to save you. And like, now we got to go get saved and blah, blah, blah. And then Rocket says something over the comms and Nebula like breaks down hearing his voice. And it was the moment that like ripped my fucking heart out. Like, and I didn't see it coming at all. And I think that was part of the power of the scene was Nebula doesn't do that ever. Like, it's been how many movies with this character and there's never been an emotional hit like that from her at any point, like including like with her own sister and father and all this stuff. Like, it's never happened. And just the voice coming over the comms and her breaking down, it was incredible and like incredibly well acted. The whole thing, the whole sequence was just awesome. And yeah, I wasn't prepared for that moment. It got me. It got me so good. And it was the only moment of the movie that hit me like that. Like that level of like, holy shit, I wasn't ready. Yeah, man, your boy, some thug tears on the couch watching Guardians 3.
Yeah, that was a good movie. It definitely was a lot heavier than the other Guardians
movies. Oh, 100%. 100%.
Like, yeah. And High Evolutionary, great villain.
Villain. I do like, agree.
Yeah, amazing villain. That rabbit is fucking nightmare fuel.
the spider rabbit?
Yeah, like, fuck that thing. I'm sorry. Like, I probably would have stomped on it, too. But yeah, it's... yeah, it took me back because like you put up that post on Twitter and I was like, damn, dude, like I had to go back and like watch it again. And like, you know, it's yeah, it's a good it's a well acted movie, but it's not one of those Marvel movies that I want to ever go back to.
I would watch it again. I there were enough moments that like genuinely made me laugh in it.
When Quinn's driving the car,
yeah, that's one of my favorites. Yeah. He's like, "Will you get in the fucking car?"
Yeah, when they use their one F-bomb to in that line, and it was funny because it was all improvised, like that whole section, and like they actually had to cut away from Nebula because she like broke character. She was so like flabbergasted by him saying it, but yeah, that was probably the funniest part of that whole movie.
When Mantis breaks through the wall and they're all riding the huge monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, did that look cool? Like that guy that made me laugh. I thought that was really funny.
Oh shit. Yeah. That whole, yeah, it's, do you think that you are going to let, cause I know you are watching the whole Marvel like catalog with your children. Are you going to watch this with your children?
No. Yeah. No, not like the animal stuff would be too much.
Yeah. Yeah. The animal cruelty is pretty, pretty hard to take on the chin.
Yeah. That's, and especially, you know, my daughter, who's the same age as your son, like does not have the emotional tools or context to deal with that and compartmentalize it in any way. So no, that would be just a whole bunch of bad.
Yeah. We're at the point now where when I'm watching a movie with Gabe, we have to stop the movie maybe every 3 minutes so that we can answer the 100 questions he has about what just happened in like the 3 minutes of video that we just watched.
Yeah. I don't do that. I say, save all questions to the end. The movie will answer most of your questions. You just need to watch it. And then at the end of the movie, if there are things you don't know, sure, we'll talk about it, but I'm not going to keep answering your questions because the movie will answer them. I also don't know why that dude just did that. I'm watching the movie.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yep.
Man. Oof. Guardians 3. Good movie.
Oh, yeah.
Good movie.
I also watched the first episode of Shogun.
Oh God. I forgot that came out. How was that?
Yeah, dude.
Tell me it rules.
Yes, it 100% does rule. The first two episodes came out. I think the third one comes out tonight, but I've only watched episode one. I haven't watched episode two. It's the first episode, like, it's slower, but, like, you know, they're introducing a lot of characters. But it's shot beautifully. It reminds me, I don't know if you've ever seen the show. It was called Taboo with Tom Hardy. And it ends up, it reminds me a lot of that, especially like the main like white dude. Cause like the whole kind of premise is like this group of guys, you know, they like, they're essentially, I'm assuming they're pirates. They keep saying they're merchants.
Yeah.
But it's very heavily hinted at that they are actually pirates and they were trying to sail to the Japans, as they call them, and they end up showing up on shore and are like kind of taken prisoner, and there's like a lot of kind of like Game of Thrones like political stuff with like a lot of these the people who are in power right now and stuff, and they're trying to like trade hands and do whatever, and a lot of like backstabbing shit going on. But no, it's really good and it's interesting. And there's like a, you know, there's it, episode one ended. I felt like it, like a, they, like he just showed up. He's like getting ready to like meet the Shogun, like the white dude stuff. So I'm like, man, I really want to watch episode two, but I've been watching it with Megan. So I need to wait until she's ready to watch the next one. But no, it seems really good, and I'm like stoked. And it was funny because it's very similar to Blue Eye Samurai. And
I was gonna say, it sounds a little like prequel-ish to Blue Eye Samurai.
No, so my friend Troy said he looked it up or whatever, and because I told him I was watching it, and he actually said that the story of Blue Eye Samurai is like an exaggerated version of the story that they are actually telling in Shogun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that it's essentially the same story in a way. It's just Blue Eye Samurai changed a lot more and did whatever, and this is more like the more accurate version of the story.
Oh, all right.
So, and watching it, I was like, you know what? Like, that makes a lot of sense, like after watching, because like a lot of like what is happening is very much like Blue Eye Samurai, and I was like, damn, I was like, now that you say that, like I connect the dots now.
I'm even more interested.
Yeah, I think you would definitely, yeah, because he said it was like, he said, I was reading up on how Blue Eye Samurai was, it was a completely fake story, but there's a lot of historical things it pulls from. Things actually don't line up for it being too realistic, but the main story it pulls from is the real story that Shogun is telling.
All right.
So I was like, that's awesome.
Very cool. You watch anything good, Chin?
No.
All right.
No. Boss Baby Boss Baby.
Yep. We got 3 weeks until Kong versus Godzilla. Or Kong Godzilla Part 2. And I don't know if you saw the new teaser thing that got released where Kong jumps on Godzilla's back and is riding him.
I did not see that.
I'll tell you, it's the dumbest shit I've ever seen, and I've never wanted to see a movie more.
I will be there.
And I struggle because I don't understand why that's the reaction I have with this, where I'm like, that is the dumbest shit. Hell yes, let's go. And it's literally just this franchise. Like, it's just these Godzilla movies. And I don't know why.
I don't know. I get the same feeling like when I watch Fast and the Furious, where I'm just like, man, like, this is dumbest fucking shit, but sure, I'm putting on the fucking next one, man, because this is awesome.
Yeah. Like, I think maybe I just, knowing that going in, that yeah, this is going to be so stupid, but god damn it, it's going to rule. Like, maybe that just makes it more fun. Like, I'm not going into it expecting high cinema, you know. Like, I'm not one of these Dune 2 people that this is going to rewrite how I look at movies for the rest of my life, you know. It's a big gorilla jumping on top of a radioactive lizard and doing work. Like, let's go. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's going to take Shannon 4 attempts to work his way through it, so.
I'm just going to wait for it to come out at home so I can watch it and fall asleep.
You think your son would do it in the theater?
Hell, would he watch that in the theater? Yeah. Probably not in a theater, because like when Godzilla goes,
too,
you know,
too big, too scary,
loud, too loud, but not too big or too scary. I think because we've watched portions of the Godzilla movies, like where he's swimming underwater. Like, remember in the other one where like they have that underwater sub and like they're and Godzilla's coming at him and like they open the windows and it's pitch black and then you hear the thump thump and like you could see the pulses through Godzilla and like, you know, it's getting closer and closer, and like he watched that and he was just taken with it. He was just like, this is rad,
and he's right.
Yeah, like I said, that's why we watched that part of the movie, because that's like one of the awesomest parts of that movie. And then but once the action started and like I put the speakers on and like when Godzilla like roars, too intense. Like that was a little like he wanted like hearing protection, right? So I think I think in a volume controlled environment he would be like set to see that. But like, you know, theaters probably a little too intense.
Cause me and the boy are going. So I was gonna say, if you wanna
I will bring a father-son adventure.
I'd hell be down. Yeah.
I'll bring some little foam, like, you know, earplugs that he can put in. Like, he'll just sit there
and just bring the Monster Truck headphones. Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll bring those too. I got those too. Either one.
Can make this work.
Mm-hmm.
Putting in that work.
Yeah, because let's be honest, Zay's not going to be watching Godzilla.
Oh, Steph, hell no. Like, she's out. Like,
I was like, Megan and I, we're going to the theater to see that shit.
High cinema.
Yeah. I like got the Godzilla shirt on. We're going.
Did you see Morbius is now on Disney Plus, by the way?
Hell no. Is it?
Yep. It's Morbin time, boys.
I might give it a try.
I'm going to fire it up just because I have to see. And it's going to cost me nothing to do it.
I'm excited for you guys to finally watch that movie.
It is Morbin time. Well, all right. I guess we've prattled on long enough. We have a show. Justin, why don't you take us on in for a landing?
You know what, guys? Thank you guys for listening to another episode of That Pixel Life podcast. You know what? Head on over to Discord. Let us know, you know, what are some games coming out this year that, you know, you're excited for? Are you excited for this Pokemon Legends game that's coming out, you know? And while you're at it, head on over to Spotify. Give your boys a review. Let us know how we're doing. And Zach, if Robbie was here, what do you think Robbie would say?
Robbie would say, hey guys, go be great.
And only 184 days and 10 hours until football comes back.